CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it is Friday morning, CliffCentral.com. We got lots of things to get into. I saw an interesting question just a moment ago, and I thought we'd finished with the Black Friday discussion, but this is quite a good one. What product would motivate you to go and take part in Black Friday today? Is there anything that's so cool, whether it's a gadget? I mean, like, I'm meant to get a new phone. And Mash was saying on Monday he's finished with Apple, he's moving on, he's no longer going to be.
He's lying.
No, I know. Of course, he's lying.
He's. You know when you get impressed about something and you're like, oh my word, I'm gonna so get this afterwards,
yeah.
And then you realize,
mm-hmm.
I was speeding.
He's Da-da-da. Lying.
That's Mash.
I agree. Mm. So I've had this phone for 5 years maybe. And
oh wow.
Yeah, I think. You know, the other day it just switched off and wouldn't switch on again, and I thought, probably time. So something like that has to happen to get me to actually change phones. So if they were selling a new phone at a reasonable, like let's say like 50% off, then I might be persuaded to participate in Black Friday. But otherwise, not a chance.
Well, for me, I think all the tech stuff, like I would love to get a new phone, upgrade my laptop,
mm-hmm.
get a new camera. So like all the tech stuff.
It's a whole category.
I would definitely. But it would have to be like, because these things are so expensive.
Whew.
Also, as you said, like 50% off and my budget is insane. I know I have a trolley and I'm literally walking out with like the best. And even small things like an external hard drive. You know, these things are so expensive. Buying external memory cards, small things like that. Just fill up in the cart. And I think that's only tech things though. Like I'm not here to go buy groceries. Black Friday, no. Mm-mm.
No, groceries, not a chance. So you wouldn't, wild horses again, couldn't drag me to the World Cup or to that. All right.
Oh, so, even clothing. I've seen people, they have bags and what. I'm like, girl, bye. Mm-mm. No, you're not serious. Yeah.
Well, Carla just said, I just did an all-out Christmas shopping with Discovery Miles and Black Friday specials. Did not spend a cent in cash. That's amazing. No, really.
That's how you do it.
I'm blown away, but that is an incredible achievement. Well done. JC Adonis says, I'm hoping to purchase my own card machine to accept card payments on the markets for my baby hats and or food I make. Well, okay, get a card machine. That's a good idea. Nice. Well, that's a business purchase, though. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Cheryl says two things that I would buy on Black Friday that would make me go to the queues. Bobby Brown Cosmetics. But I still don't think that'll get me to the malls. I hate the malls in Cape Town. Okay, but you only said Bobby Brown Cosmetics. You didn't tell us what the other one was.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious because I don't care about cosmetics, obviously, so I want to know what the other one is. The only thing I ever bought on Black Friday, says Jean, years ago was a smartphone because I needed one. Okay.
Smart man.
Cool. iStore pre-owned is what a lot of people are saying. Get a demo or secondhand Apple from iStore pre-owned. Baby nappies. Ooh, one on the way, lovely Lady Lee. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think, yes. Mm. So I'm officially in the season where all my friends are either getting engaged
Uh-oh.
Or they're getting knocked up. So I like the nappies one, you know, like let me just bulk buy these nappies.
Yeah.
And then like every time there's like a baby shower that I have to attend now, I can just be like, there you go with your gift.
I don't know if Carl is talking shit here, but this, if it is true, it's hilarious. Apparently the EFF are complaining about Black Friday because of the name. They say it's always the blacks associated with cheap. Haibo. Really? They've run out of things to complain about if that's their problem. Really?
So what would they prefer it be called? White Friday? Like, I don't know. What's the alternative?
Yes,
cheap. Stop complaining. Give us solutions. Suga. No. Next.
Here's some good stuff. Ryan says, top tip, a Cliff Central top tip. The thing you need to buy on Black Friday is tires. Super cheap deals on tires. Really? Is that true?
Yeah. So, yes, I think this is a good one. If you are going to spend besides tech, also your car. Start getting things for the car. Things are expensive. I know, like, I have a friend who has insurance, like, overall insurance for his car, but also has tire insurance because tires are that expensive. You can easily, like, fork out 10,000 rand for one tire. And imagine you have to replace all four. That's 40K. Where are you going to get that? So, that's a good one as well.
You know, it's the least sexy thing in the whole world to go and buy tires. I mean, it's like buying insurance. It's the most unsexy purchase you could ever make. You know, at least if you have a phone, you can say, well, I bought this phone for Black Friday. Well, I've got tires on my car that are already, you know, half worn down.
It's a smart purchase. That's all we say. Like, if you do have a car, this is the best time to start getting. I mean, not everyone's on a motor plan. That's the thing. And a lot of South Africans don't have insurance. So if you don't, then start getting the tires now.
I know. It makes sense, but really. Carl says, I did make that thing about the EFF up. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's still hilarious. I knew it was bullshit. I won't lie. All right. We're going to talk about some other stuff that's going on in the news in a moment or two. We also get this email from Nikita, which is quite sweet. Hey, team, I just wanted to quickly comment on the burning platform yesterday. What a great discussion. I thoroughly enjoyed the refreshing perspective of Lukhona Mguni and the passion for transforming the South African political landscape. It certainly appears that the Rivonia Circle is off to a good start. Thank you, team, for hosting him, one of my favorite shows to date. Isn't that nice?
Yes, that is.
And
that is very, very nice.
We got some really nice feedback after yesterday's show. I reckon that Lukhona is probably one of the best guests we've had on the Burning Platform, so we're definitely going to get him back whenever we can. Very, very good. All right, so people have now started the tire thing as a discussion, just like the air fryer was a discussion for weeks, so I hope this is not going to carry on forever. But Annette says, I did the tire thing last year. Saving was negligible. Ooh, okay, so not all good feedback. It definitely isn't all good feedback. Not everyone is agreeing with Ryan here. Also, a couple of other things that might persuade you to go. Christmas decorations. I mean, if you could save money on those because you use them once a year and then you put them away and then you realize when you bring out the lights they don't work anymore, I've got to put up mine next week. When do you do yours, Simpiwe?
So the whole Christmas decoration has never really been a thing in our house.
Okay.
The
lucky
only
you.
Thing we've ever invested in was the Christmas tree that gets put up on like the 20th and then we take it down on the 26th. but Lebang had shared with us that she got scammed, right?
Oh, God.
And the scam happened over a Christmas tree.
Oh,
she was trying
God.
To buy a Christmas tree, Facebook Marketplace, and boom, shaka boom, she got scammed. So now I'm just like, as in, guys, it's fine. I don't think Christmas decor is. For me.
Where is Ben, by the way? Just send him a message. Ask him, is he still
I'm,
there?
I'm here. I've been waiting the whole time while you two natter on like
we
no
can't,
one gives a shit.
Okay, but we can't see you. It's like your camera's been off.
I haven't done anything different. I've just been sitting here like a patient guest.
I thought you'd gone away because I switched on. No. When we came back after the commercials, I saw that you weren't there. And I thought, okay, well, he's not joining us anymore. So what's going on there? Can you go out and come back in so your camera's on?
Okay. Wow. Right. Jesus.
We weren't ignoring you. So, Pee, you also saw that, right?
Yes. I'm also, like, I can see the backstage as well. And I can see Ben is there. So I'm about to text him to say, hey, are you having issues with your camera?
Yeah, exactly.
Because
I saw you on your phone.
We can't
I was wondering
see
what that
you.
Was. Jesus. Okay, well, we'll try and get him back on. He's probably sitting there going, I've also got something to say. Oh, here he is. All right. Embarrassing.
Yes.
Yeah,
you exist. So how long were you sitting there just, like, muttering and twiddling
your time. The whole time. I even left my laptop. Now I'm looking at Black Friday deals I don't even care about. I was talking to Meowsers. Just sitting here.
What would motivate you to go out and get Black Friday deals? Is there any product in the world that you would actually go and line up for?
No, I don't need any single product. Actually, if my vet had a Black Friday deal, Meowsers is kidney food. That would be pretty handy.
Oh, shit.
It's expensive.
Oh, man.
Sure,
I mean, because because she's old, and she's quite particular about her food, she has to have this kidney stuff because there's less sulfur and
it's costly.
Look at her.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't give a shit. She says,
she doesn't give a fuck.
She says, give me meat. Give me raw meat. Don't give me that fucking horrible pellet stuff that you give me.
Yeah, so she has to have the special kidney stuff. It's now at that age where she got to worry about her digestive tract. So I would like that on Black Friday and more trips to the bush. That's actually what I'm doing. I'm on the Sand Parks website right now because you guys weren't talking to me.
I think this year, for the first time this year, like having Black Friday specials for trips. Like, this is a new thing.
Who's having these specials?
I don't know, like various companies, but we never used to get like Black Friday specials for trips, like local trips, international trips. So I think this year is the first time where you could actually get a Black Friday nice weekend away or whatever. So that's cool. I don't know about the vet thing. You must just type an email there, Ben, and just be like, hey, you know, we've noticed that Black Friday is a thing.
Derek says, lol. Not going to happen. Lol, the way Ben answered. It's like he was horrified that we were ignoring him. I saved 4,000 rand, says Mapelo, on a fridge purchase yesterday online. I'm so impressed with myself. Well, Jesus, if you saved 4,000 rand, what kind of big-ass fridge did you buy?
No, cost of living. A basic fridge now starts at, like, what, 8K?
You're joking.
10.
Really?
Basic, yes.
Shit.
It's like, because the thing is, what happens is, like, as time goes on, it's even with these smart TVs, they're becoming the norm. Like, every other TV you can buy now, it has the internet, you can connect it with your Wi-Fi and whatever. So that becomes the norm, and so a basic TV can easily cost you, I don't know, like, 15,000.
Well,
I don't know.
The obvious question has come in from Durban Dope. What is Eskom doing for Black Friday?
It's funny.
I know it's meant to be funny, but I'm struggling to find the reason to laugh. I'm sorry. I don't find that funny at all. All right. Let's just get into this. Ben has a whole thing to talk about with regards to kids and career choices. So, obviously, when I was at school, what they do is they'd have people come and visit every couple of weeks to the school and tell you about a certain occupation, especially as you get to the end of high school, right? They're like, I am a doctor, and this is what I do, and these are the kinds of things that I deal with every day, and this is how much money you can earn, and this is all the, you know. And you get these people who come in, but they sketch a nice picture of what they're, because they're talking to kids. And when adults talk to kids, they don't want to depress them with the truth and the reality. You know, no doctor who came to visit us, and they were mostly young, obviously former students at the school or something. That's why they got them in. And then they talked to us about this. They didn't say, I'm paying back a medical student loan that's, you know, hundreds of thousands of rands, and then I have to go and work for the government for 2 years. They didn't tell us that stuff because that would have put us off. They try to trap you into, like, here's why you should be this. And they lie to you at school. They tell you, oh, engineering is such a great career. You're going to build bridges and change the world and improve everything. Then you go and you end up in an office drawing drawings for, like, years and years and being paid minimum wage until someone notices you and promotes you. So what do you mean by this, Ben? Like, what kinds of careers are you talking about? Because that's all the career guidance we got at school.
So, yeah, I think they always sell kids dreams, and there's a stat that's come out that they interviewed like 3,000 kids, and kids generally still think that they want to be astronauts, and they want to be athletes, and they want to be things that there's already kind of no need for, you know? And I always find it like, okay. look at that, okay? So what's the blue thing there? Astronaut.
Okay.
Is this... I mean, YouTuber and vlogger, I kind of get it because kids just watch YouTube and they think, oh, I can do this. I want to make money out of this. But if you're having like a career guidance day, I'm quite impressed that so many people in China want to become teachers. But athletes, musician, astronaut, YouTube vlogger, I don't think you should be really punting that for kids. Like, it's only going to lead to, I don't know,
well, can I just say that the difference between the US, the UK, and China in these graphs tells me that Chinese people are imagining and visualizing a much more bright future for themselves than the US and UK people are. if your biggest dream in the UK and the US is to be a YouTuber or a vlogger, which, listen, it's a fun thing to do. Everybody can do it. It's low barrier to entry. You might make it and be a big deal and people will watch you. But if everybody becomes a YouTuber and vlogger, then who's watching all the YouTubers and vloggers? It means they've kind of given up on dreams. At least the Chinese in this case are still dreaming. And while teaching isn't everybody's cup of tea, it does mean you're putting something back into society. I mean, we've always said there are two kinds of teachers, the ones that really are brilliant teachers, and they're the ones who just never really mentally get beyond high school. So I don't think that, you know, teaching is also an honorable profession in China, wherein, you know, most of the Western world, we don't treat teachers with that much respect. What's interesting here is professional athlete also ranks high in China, as does musician. And by Chinese musician, they don't mean rock star, which is also great. They mean like, I want to be able to play the violin or the piano. Or be able, that's phenomenal. So again, China's proving, even though we don't like the way that they run their government, et cetera, China's proving here again with these graphs, Ben, that they are the dreamers and they are the future. The U.S., I mean, YouTuber and vlogger is the biggest by a way. Then you get teacher, then you get professional athlete.
Just like the UK.
It goes all the way down.
I mean, it's absolutely mirrored in the UK as well. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting seeing these kind of stats, and I often share them on the show. The statistic people are always working on interesting things. It's like, but I would like to see, because what I've kind of realized as you get older is that you've got to find the problems in society to find the best jobs, because, you know, supply and demand's a really big deal. I would love to be a YouTuber, vlogger. I would love to do nothing else but film my cat and make funny commentary or some shit. Like, that would be the easiest thing in the world. I could wake up late. I could do whatever I want.
Sure.
But there's no real need for it in life, right? So we need to make, like, plumbing sexy. We need to make other things that, like...
Let me tell you something. No one is going to wake up tomorrow in any government in the world and go, oh, my God, we've got a terrible shortage of vloggers. Someone quickly call a cabinet, emergency cabinet meeting. We need to get a strategy together on getting more vloggers, because it's not going to contribute to the economy the way that people think it is. You do need teachers. You do need nurses. You do need engineers. You do need policemen. You do need people who can fix roads. You know, you need people who can pick up trash. You need people who can do boring but necessary jobs. And I know you don't want to sell that to school kids, because no one goes to school.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to sit at a desk and fill in forms for the rest of my life. No kid wants to do that. So you can't sell them that idea. But, man, those are the people we actually need in society.
But isn't it kind of – I know this is a very unromantic and uninspiring kind of way of looking at it, but isn't it kind of smarter if we were to reverse engineer these people? So it's like, what are the big problems in this country? Like, if we have 7,000 people that can make cheese – we might need to look at someone who can grow vegetables, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Like, you got all these kids wanting to be vloggers, and I get it. I totally understand, because if one person can do it, then who am I to say you can't be the second person?
Sure.
But it's such a waste of time for these kids, you know? Like, it really is. They're only going to become burdens to their parents and basically just litter the atmosphere with more stuff no one's going to watch. Like, we need to understand our societies better.
I think I have a solution, and the solution involves taking the professionals and getting them to kind of vlog what they do. I think the reason why a lot of US kids and the UK kids want to become vloggers is because that's what they're consuming. Their parents will put on YouTube or whatever, and that's what they see. So in order to make plumbing sexy, you get a guy to start a YouTube channel. There's a old man, I follow his channel, forgot, it's like Bro something. And he like creates these channels on how to do basic things of how to tie a tie. And then he talks to you like your older dad, and he'll be like, yeah, when I was your age, I did this. And he's created this community where it's like you have now this older father figure that you watch.
That's amazing.
Actually gives you like lessons and skills that you can implement in real life. So I think get the plumbers onto YouTube, because when I start watching a plumber doing his thing, I'm like, damn, I want to do that. Let's go do it. I think that's the best way to
good idea.
I think it's terrific. Good plan. I met a plumber the other day who does buildings in the CBD, and he has stories. Oh, my God, does he have stories. He says that, like, the way people live in some of those big buildings in town that have been hijacked, and the stuff he has to pull out of pipes, I mean, he has stories that will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Phenomenal. That guy's got more interesting stories than a guest of ours who's written 10 books. Guaranteed. You just got to get him to sit down and start telling you stories, and he will not stop. And he will tell you about, like, the difference between the Nigerians and the Congolese and the Somalians who live in this building and how they all behave and how he has to behave to get in and out. It's phenomenal. Don't tell me that's boring. You want a life?
Of course not.
You want a life of adventure? You want a life of adventure? Don't go and join the UN, the UK Marines. Just go and try and fix a toilet in a building in the CBD of Joburg. It's a real fucking adventure.
Can you imagine, like, that guy's average smells per day?
This week, we are dealing with a South African, and how I can tell that he's South African is because it just has that,
Can you imagine?
Just weighs about 2 kilograms. Next week, you know, there's
unique
a Russian
bouquet.
Thing. Yeah.
It's like I'm about to go to the office, and I know I'm going to walk in. I'm going to smell freshly baked muffins from the coffee shop, and I'm going to smell coffee and maybe like a linger of someone's like toast. Mm. When he goes to work,
oh no, he smells very different things. wow. I mean, that's a story. So, yeah, we do need, I suppose, there's a little bit of what I'm very opposed to is social engineering. But you kind of have to, you have to get kids, and this is what China is very good at because they don't give a shit about individuals, right? They're just really creating people who can do something for the state because they're communists. So they will say, well, look like we need more teachers. So they'll make more people want to be teachers with propaganda, and they'll just tell them at school, hey, you're going to be a teacher, Titlahan. And Titlahan goes, oh, okay, me be teacher. And that's the way it works. He doesn't get an option. He's like, oh, well, but what about my dreams of being an astronaut? No, Titlahan, you become teacher. Okay, I become teacher. There's no fighting. I mean, he knows he'll be dragged outside and shot in the head if he doesn't become a teacher. So that's how it goes. Not everywhere you get to choose.
Absolutely agree with you. Like, it's cool that if someone is defiant, and that's how you actually reach your dream by saying, actually, fuck you, I'm going to be an astronaut, because that's what brings out the best in people. Mm-hmm. But I think kids are, like, they've got to be kind of given these better options. If you just let in front of the TV, and Spiri, you know what, you're actually right. Maybe it's like one of those things that YouTube could do better things. It's like, maybe that's an entire genre that Cliff Central could like branch out into. Careers that you should probably do. And all you do is you just have that as a YouTube channel. Like and subscribe, Gareth. It'll be a huge thing.
Yeah, okay.
And are you, week.
No, well, again, I have to say, and I'm not for this, but this is what China do. They don't allow their own kids in China to watch stupid fucking Westerners doing dance videos on TikTok. They don't allow it. They block that stuff. The only stuff you get on TikTok in China is like educational stuff. Like, they're teaching them about the planets and about physics and about mathematics. And, like, it's not people doing dances and you know, measuring the volume of their farts on TikTok. They're doing, like, really important stuff on TikTok in China. And, therefore, they're going to end up with smarter children who will grow up into be smarter adults and not want to be vloggers and YouTubers.
So yes,
that's how
I think that's kind of where I was going with that in a roundabout way, but my hungover stage has maybe lost train of thought.
Okay, well, anyway. All right, we're going to take some of these comments. I mean, a lot of people have got things that they would buy on Black Friday, but here's something from Corona's Boring. What about a career where you take money from others by force and you decide how to spend it with the possibility of making random rules like banning the sale of open-toed shoes? Ah, you mean politics. What a great business to go into, especially in South Africa. The professions that you mentioned, like trash removal person, etc., if they got paid a very good salary, there wouldn't be trash anywhere in the city. But, of course, they don't give a damn. I really think, you know, there was a neighborhood. I went to visit someone for a business meeting. And, Jesus, Ben, what happened?
Are you taking us on a vlog?
I realize at 7:50 I need to run away, so I've got eggs boiling, and now my cat has just run at something. I think he's just killed a bird.
Now we're getting a tour.
Sorry, Gareth, carry on.
Getting a tour of Ben's house as a bonus. So, Now you've distracted me. I don't even. Oh, yes, I was visiting someone, and I had a business meeting at his house, and he was telling me that in their neighborhood, and it's not an estate, so it's like this suburb where they've got like one or two entrances, and they basically pay a dude to clean up their neighborhood. Oh, there's the cat. They pay a dude to clean up their neighborhood. So there's a guy who was obviously before he was just like a homeless guy, or he was someone on the street corner who was looking for a job. Now they pay him. Everyone in the neighborhood puts in, I don't know, $100 or something a month, and they give this guy a salary to keep the place clean, which is a pretty cool idea. Again, showing you that you don't need the municipality. You can actually do this, outsource this within your own neighborhood. And then maybe if that neighborhood's clean, you can expand to the next neighborhood, offer his services there if they all pay him as well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Some of these non-sexy careers, like taking out the trash, we might think that there's not money in it, but there's a whole lot of money in it, like being a boiler maker. Those people make a whole lot of money. It's just that we don't know about it. Like,
right.
If I learned about it in high school, I was going to be like, huh, maybe I should do that. But that's the issue as well. It's not that they don't make enough money. It's that
plumbers make good money. And Paul's right. Best occupations are the food industry and then plumbing. People have to eat and shit. They have no choice.
Yeah, but there's also something that as a kid, you always think like, I need to make money. What's going to make me rich? But there's also a thing as you get older about having like some sort of purpose and reward to your experience. And everything nowadays is so digital inclined. And, you know, like our DNA does still want us to make things, use our hands and create, because that gives you purpose. If you're just on a computer all day, you close your laptop and you say, like, what have I actually done for 20 years? You know, I just pushed emails around.
Right. Oh, I mean, that is soul destroying.
Absolutely. I sometimes feel like that. That's why it's nice to actually make like big pieces of work, because at least you can watch it back, or you can kind of have memories of people you've engaged with to create something.
Well, Michael says in Switzerland, if you do roofs, if you're a roofer, you make some very good money. Well, yeah, because it's a specialized thing, and, you know, like the snow can collapse roofs and things. You really need to know what you're doing, I suppose. It's not just like...
And you're outdoors.
Yeah. So you're getting some exercise and some sun. It's not a bad thing. A plumber's slogan, my poo is bread, your poo is my bread and butter. That's very good, Arvind.
We get shit done.
Pick it up was late in our estate last week. Independent contractor cost was $100,000 for the whole estate. We didn't do it because it was too expensive. That's an opportunity, says George.
$100K.
Wow. I'm sure you could get a team of guys who are standing on the side of the road looking for work, and everywhere in South Africa you'll find a team of guys standing on the side of the highway looking for work. And you could pay them a couple of thousand rand, and they would do it an even better job. They'd find They'd find a truck.
I guess it.
You know?
I've got to ask a better question. George, can you go into Auto Trader and find a garbage truck? How much does that cost? how can we kickstart this business?
That's a good idea. Yes.
We could all go like four ways into the garbage truck and just start estate by estate.
Can you imagine Simpiwe and Ben and I like hanging onto the back of a garbage truck, swinging ourselves off and grabbing the rubbish and throwing it in the back? It would be amazing.
We painted yellow.
I will volunteer to do the books. Thank you very much. I will do that. And
you'll be driving. And
the logistics of coordinating what time you guys need to be there.
I will do
that.
Well, Ben and I will get the exercise in, but we'll need some gloves because I'm not touching other people's trash. You know what kind of horrible shit people put in the trash. But then I'll do it for a day, and then I'll want to kill myself. So this is all a pipe dream. Back in the day, the best paying jobs and careers were to become legal secretaries. Never ever used this or went into the field, though, says Cheryl. There's too many lawyers. We don't need more lawyers. Even the lawyers say that. Right?
Of course they do, because they want less lawyers, more billable hours.
Well, we've got enough of those. Okay, so good point. George says he'll drive. Okay, we've got a business, guys. We've got a new business here. But you see, this is the point. Like, if you were really on the bones of your ass and you had nothing else going on, this is the kind of thing that I would have to seriously consider. A friend of mine was moaning about money the other day. which I think everybody has a right to moan about. It's really expensive to live now, and it costs more than it's ever cost. And obviously with inflation and all the disgraceful decisions that governments made around corona and lockdowns and everything, now we're all suffering as a result of that. And that's their fault, but we have to carry the can. So people are thinking about ways to earn extra money. Some people have been laid off. They're looking for work. These are the kinds of things people have to talk about. So here we go. Psilocybe says, I'm just imagining Gareth after the podcast doing the trash cast. Yeah, there we go. Ben is onto something.
It would be absolutely brilliant. It would be so fun.
Yeah.
Sitting on the back of a truck, judging people's garbage.
The truck that sucks the shit tanks empty is gold. Now, that's interesting. They call them the honey suckers. They're those, they're those big tankers that come in and they attach themselves to like a, you know, a sewer or whatever, and they suck up all the shit and they take it somewhere else and dump it again. That's a horrible job. Ugh. I wonder if you could buy one of those on Auto Trader.
I think Auto Trader should get a whole new avenue of dirty job machinery. George, this is it. They'll all be petrol powered, of course. There'll be no electrical options, but this is, I think, a great avenue. Market differentiation. That's all it counts.
A dirty job machinery. Is that what it's going to be called?
I reckon if you went to the right person at Picky Top with a FIFA brown envelope, you could probably pick two or three up. You might need a bit of a tune up.
Picky Top.
You're on a roll, Ben. Ben.
Yeah, you are. You're on a total roll this morning. Listen, I've seen those big trucks and things, and I'm genuinely afraid of driving them. If I had to drive one of those things, I wouldn't know where to start. I'd be nervous the whole time. You know those big trucks? I saw a guy the other day with a truck with something else attached to the back of the truck, and he was doing a turn in the road, and he maneuvered this thing, and he actually, I don't know, he obviously knows what he's doing. I would be hopeless. I would have given up and just got the hell out and run. I would have just run away. Some of these trucks are impossibly difficult to drive. I don't know how people do them.
Gareth, it'll be a couple of days, and you'll pick it up in no time.
you really are on a roll. How about a septic tank cleaner, says Arbot. Ugh, are we really looking for horrible jobs now? I remember the honeysucker coming down the road in McGregor, says Jean. Well, that's great memories you have of your childhood, John. I mean, most kids remember playing soccer with their friends, but not you. No, you remember the honeysucker coming down the road. That's great. Nice memories.
That could also just be like the local Bokosha back in the day. And not changing topics.
Oh, right. Yeah, the honeysucker. That's a good point.
McGregor, small town.
Ben, do you still have that homeless guy who like takes a shit outside your building every morning?
He doesn't take a shit, Gareth. He mouths off loud, incoherent babble. And he's actually he's a whole less frequent.
There was one morning you told us that he like shat against one of the walls or something.
During lockdown, someone took a shit outside of our building. Yeah, actually, during lockdown, this really weird guy. I don't know. Like he claimed to have been from Ferenica and he was visiting friends. He managed to get into like our first security gate and he did a bit of toileting. But no, I mean, like I often, so people might know why Gareth brings this up, but I live on like quite a busy road. Seeing as I've already walked around my apartment, let me just keep going. And every now and again, like there's this particular drunk, and I know by the sound of his wails, that he just walks by and just shouts incoherently. So that's the road.
Okay.
So that's that's Corlett Drive. So Corlett Drive is a big road.
It's a big road. It's an important street, yeah.
There's the hotel.
Right.
And then the homeless drunk guy walks down here on this road. And that's the trajectory.
And then,
you know, sometimes obviously he's found good things in bins and he's more animated than other days. But he's an absolute vibe.
So
he's an absolute vibe.
What kind of things does he shout, or is it all incoherent?
Absolutely incoherent. I don't think there's any mother tongue in this African continent that could probably work out what he's saying. But he's very engaging. He will shout and wail, and then he'll shout at people as well. So
you should try to have a conversation with him.
His senses are kind of in check.
I think you should talk to him one day. Just shout at him and be like, yo, chief, Ushab. And then if he replies, you know, document it.
Well, Superior, it's a lovely idea, but I'm on the third floor, so that would mean he looks up, and then he might fall over and get unbalanced. And then if he gets hit by a car, oh then, you know, our ecosystem has lost an important player.
Yeah, I do like these people who are, you know, separating the trash and taking it somewhere, because obviously they get paid for that, but it also seems to clean up, like, people's rubbish. And as long as they don't leave more mess than they found, then they're probably doing a good thing, right? Someone's paying them for that, so there's some value in that chain. I still don't know how it works. You know, you see these people on these little trolleys, and how they manage to get these huge, you know, balls of rubbish together and manage to steer it around on a tiny little board that has basically trolley wheels underneath it. It's amazing to see.
Can we talk about those people? If there's any people out there that do not care, it's those ones. Because they'll be in the middle of the road and you just have to move out the way and be like, oh,
yeah,
don't want to bump you and your trash.
I just want to know where they find all these trolleys. I mean, is there another section on Auto Trader, George, that we should be talking about? Trash trolleys. Have a Black Friday on a trash trolley.
Yeah.
Because genuinely, where are they finding these things? Because they all somehow have them and they all work. Despite the precarious wheel situation, they kind of go down these roads.
There's always one wheel that's not on the ground.
Exactly. But, I mean, at that stage, they're going too fast, and those other three are in it.
Sean wants to know, who was that homeless woman that you used to have on 5FM? It was a woman called... Oh, God. What was her name?
There's no way to talk about Leanne.
No, man. No, we had a homeless woman in Cape Town, and she used to say, I'm homeless, and if I had a house to plug in my radio, I'd listen to Gareth Cliff on 5FM. That was her line. Can't remember her name now. But I also interviewed, this came up yesterday when I was talking to someone in a meeting. I interviewed this homeless dude in New York, and I was really struggling to get him to say what I wanted him to say. So eventually I made him laugh or something, and then he said this, and I've still got the clip, which I use from time to time.
You sure are funny, man.
He says, you're sure a funny man. But he was a disaster. Definitely meth and all kinds of other stuff going on there. I did quite like, what was the homeless woman? Elizabeth, the homeless woman. That's right. Yonder got it right. She used to live, so she used to live under a bridge in Cape Town, and she would call in. I mean, she'd send please call me's to her daughter. Then her daughter would get her on the phone and she'd put her through to us. And we'd put her on and ask her all kinds of questions. And we used to have a, like, judge beauty pageants and all kinds of stuff for us. So I think we met Elizabeth once or twice when we were in Cape Town. We were broadcasting from some fancy hotel, and then we invited her, and she arrived with, like, all of her shit. And she thought she had a room there for the night or something. And they were like, you can't let this woman in. And we were like, no, but she's a guest on our show. She has to come into the lobby and do the show with us this morning. And the hotel were very unhappy that we'd invited Elizabeth, the homeless woman. So I like that. I find people like that fascinating. Like your guy who shouts to whales. I mean, I find it fascinating.
Oh, yes. There's a whole YouTube channel that's called Soft White Underbelly. And they basically interview homeless people that are drug addicts, prostitutes, strippers. Mm. And their stories are always so fascinating. Like, I watch it and I'm like, ooh, is this how you got into it? What got you here? How are you?
It's a whole ecosystem. I mean, we don't know. When we sit in our offices or we sit in our houses and that whole street ecosystem is a whole different world. The way that the prostitutes fit in with the homeless people, fit in with the drug addicts, fit in with the muggers. You know, there's a whole, like, pecking order and a hierarchy, and, like, certain corners are for these people and other. It's stuff we don't understand. And you won't understand unless you're homeless, and God forbid you should end up in that situation. But, I mean, it's different. It's a completely different universe to what we're used to. You don't have any funny people living outside your house, do you, Superior?
Of course not. No. We don't have time for that in our neighborhood.
Your grandmother would chase them away with a stick, I'm pretty sure.
Not even my grandmother. So we have like a gangster living in who's our neighbor, right?
Oh my god. Not
retired gangster, but okay. We love it. All because right. You know why? He keeps everybody else in check. Like when people were trying nonsense to sell drugs or whatnot, you know who dealt with that? He did. So we have peace. In our neighborhood, there's a lot of peace because he's around.
Okay, I got you.
And recently, like as of a habit, he got murdered. So the entire neighborhood was like,
oh, I hate that. Oh, when no. That happens.
What's going to happen to... That was the first thing. What's going to happen to the neighborhood now that he's not around? And it's like, guys, someone just passed on. Like, and we're like, our safety. Oh, he's but gone.
There'll be a new gangster who'll take his place because gangster hierarchies are always filled very quickly. There's always a new one. Am I right? I
mean, yeah, but now we have to trust him. And, like, the thing is, we liked him. He had retired. He was doing good for the community, our community.
Do you remember Alan Ford had all those hookers on the corner under his apartment? I mean, Ben, you've got that homeless guy who seems to be more entertaining and not particularly dangerous. But Alan Ford, in his apartment in Sandton somewhere, he said he's got a bunch of hookers, like two or three of these hookers, and they're loud, and they shout. And, you know, they don't talk at normal volume. He says at like 2 in the morning, they're shouting at each other on the corner of his street.
I would love to know what they're shouting. Like, I often see the hookers on this road here. There's actually quite a lot happening on this road. Like, if I ever come home late from Stanton, there's always like 3 or 4 ladies of the night, in the night, deep in the night. But I'd love to know what they would argue about. Is it about... Obviously, customers.
Yeah,
it's
customers.
About outfits.
I think.
It's like, how dare you wear the same outfit as me on a Tuesday? I told you. I go pink on Tuesday.
Yeah. Scratching each other's eyes off. Like,
yeah, I'd love to know what the fights are.
Or maybe it isn't even fighting. Maybe they're just really enthusiastic and they're comparing like nails or whatever. Like, where did you get your nail? Oh, that's very nice. What lipstick is that? You know, that kind of thing.
Or it's like, I told you we're not doing Black Friday deals. Here you are with a 400 rand gob job. How dare you?
You're ruining everything.
Yeah, you're ruining everything.
You know the Mahosha code. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. I reckon. Going back to what you're saying about that YouTube channel, it'd be so interesting to have like a whole series of interviews, like how I got here. And you start off like, you know, there's this one guy, he interviews billionaires to get, like, life points of, like, what is so cool, how did you become a billionaire? So you start off with a couple of those, you know, to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then you start interviewing homeless people. Like, there's a guy I see him every day when I drive to work. I often wonder, like, how did he get here? Of course, if you go talk to them, you never know where it's going to go. And you don't want to sound like, ooh, you're a homeless person. I just want to see you. I want to know about your misery.
Yeah,
you don't want to come across as that.
Yeah.
But I always think, like, how did this guy get here? What happened? What was the series of events that he could have stopped?
Those lessons may be more useful for people than the very exceptional story of a billionaire. Because the billionaire story is much, much harder to replicate. Whereas the story of the homeless person, especially if they had a spectacular fall from grace. I mean, there are people who are homeless because they've got severe mental health issues and they come from... You know, families that where they had, you know, privilege and money and they went to a good school or whatever. Now they're on the street. I think those stories are way, way more useful for people and they're more of a cautionary tale than the story of the billionaire. I mean, the billionaire story is still something you can kind of aspire to. But the homeless person story is one that we should be very careful of because it could happen to any of us, as far as I can tell.
Oh, yeah. There was a guy... There was a guy years ago, I watched the show, Kumbulekhaya, and he was like a homeless person. And what happened was I think he was like living in like Umalanga or something, and he came to Joburg to study. And he wasn't doing well at school, and he dropped out. And that's how he ended up homeless. Like, he was just like, I'm not going back home. I don't want to disappoint them. So, you know, and it had been years, and then the family was like, where's our son? And they eventually got like, a hold of him, and that's how he actually ended up living on the street. He just didn't want to go back home because he was going to be seen as a disappointment. And I was like, what? That's fascinating. And then he went back home and the family accepted him. I don't know if he's back or not. But I was just like, wow.
Listen, just a quick point of order. Sean wants to know, Simpiwe, your gangster neighbor, did he pass away before or after your phone was robbed? Right?
Definitely after.
Yeah, it would never have happened while he was alive. Someone said, Cheryl says, when the Mahoshas fight on the corner, it's because one of them has stolen the other one's shoes.
So, is that like the ultimate burn?
That's a tough
it's like, yeah. I want to... It's the ultimate disrespect. I'm just
telling yes, you. It is. You're not going to be jacking my swag. Who do you think you are, trying to look all pretty? Okay, I'm the queen here, all right? I'm going to wear the Louis Vuittons. Not you, darling. Stick with your Mr. Prize. No, I can already see how that already... Don't try it.
I just love... I could talk about this stuff all day. I'm fascinated. I do want to make a reality TV show about this stuff. I think that homeless people are a resource. I mean, we can pay them to be on the show, right? So it wouldn't be like we're taking advantage of them, as Ben said earlier. You know, you don't want to take advantage. You don't want to be down there and like, oh, tell us about how shit your life is. But to hear their stories, you pay them, and then you put them in situations where they're like talking to each other, and we just watch. Like two street hookers just arguing with each other. I want to know, like Ben says, what are they arguing about? That's fascinating.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, it's getting evening time, right? So, like, they stop begging. And then, like, what's the plan? That's what I want to know. Yeah, I don't mean this in the negative. Like, what is the plan? Like, what do they need? What do they look for?
Yeah,
what's the next step? Because
this
with,
is it.
With darkness, does...
So you and Simpiwe and I and most of us, I suppose, are working. And then at the end of the month, we've got rent to pay, or we've got to pay off our cars, or we've got groceries to buy. We've got a list of things we have to do to be in society, right? To be able to survive, to be able to live. What is the priority? Like, if you get 50 rand from, I don't know, begging or blowjobs or whatever it is, what is the first thing you're going to do with that money? Food, maybe? But then after the food part, because you don't have a house to pay for or any of that stuff. So what are you going to do with that? I want to know how their financial planning works, if at all.
Yes.
It's fascinating.
Me too. Does it go straight to drugs? Like, what is it? Are they supporting people? Good. This is great, guys. Right. I really want to go in this.
I agree. This is fascinating. George has got something to add to this. He says it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Hey, George, how's it?
Hey, Ben. Hey, Gareth and Pierre. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I mean, it's a real thing. You know, the first thing that's important is air, being able to breathe, water, food.
Yeah.
So those are probably the things I think they think about first.
But mainly drugs, says Sean, and I think that's right. Mainly drugs. All right. So George, what do you think of our business idea? I mean, what do you think of Ben's? There have been several suggestions. Dirty job machinery. We start a trash collecting business. Do you sell rubbish collection vehicles on Auto Trader?
I think there have been one or two, but I haven't seen them. I mean, obviously, I don't go into Auto Trader looking for garbage trucks every day. But
Not yet.
Not yet.
George, wait, this is going to make us rich, George, okay?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you don't need a compactor in order to collect 500 houses of rubbish. You need a couple of trips to the dump. So you probably need one of those, big, like, I mean, you need a largest truck. You don't need a Pantechnicon, I would imagine. So I think there are ways to cut the cost.
I'm all for it, George. We've got to look for ways to make money. People need their rubbish collected. We need to help them do it, and we can get paid handsomely for this. And you are the vehicle guy, so you could drive the trucks, and Pee will run the office. Ben and I will hop on the back. We'll probably get Ryan to join us. I'm pretty sure we get a few more people.
I was brushing my teeth when you said that, and I almost choked on the toothpaste. Gareth and Ben on the back of the garbage truck.
You know how the truck starts going before they get on, and then they run behind it and jump on? Like, that looks like a lot of fun, and I know it's not because it's a horrible fucking job, but it is something that made me laugh as well. And I visualized, like, Ben and I swinging, like, orangutans on the back of a garbage truck. I think
it's basically like Baywatch. I mean, so similar.
We could have those overalls with the shiny bits on them. That'd be fun. Gumboots.
And we could have like really cool nicknames, like, you know, Cyril Ferret.
Squ- squirrel and ferret.
Squeaky.
All right, George, what do you got for us today?
Oh, why is my browser not working? There we go. Okay, so why on earth is this?
George is having technical difficulties.
I'm having technical
because you've been
issues
looking up garbage trucks all day on Auto Trader. That's the problem.
Yeah, that probably was because I would have gone on to Auto Trader to go and look for one thing or another. The thing I did go into Auto Trader this morning for is we having, besides the Black Friday 882 cars that I was talking about, we have a special, or should I say a competition. And a competition is you can download our app. And if you download our app, you can stand a chance to win 2,000 rand.
Okay, that sounds good.
There's a bit of a process involved. You have to download the app, take a screenshot of your new shiny app.
Okay.
Post it on social media with the hashtag Black Friday is ready, and tag Auto Trader SA, and then you can stand a chance to win 2,000 rand.
Who doesn't want 2,000 rand? Go on, win. Let's go. Let's do this ASAP.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Do you have trolleys, George? Have you got trolleys? Because Ben was asking earlier, what about trolley wheels for those guys that collect the garbage? I mean, do we have trolleys on Auto Trader, or is that technically not an automobile?
I've never seen a trolley. I don't think they're roadworthy, and that's probably one of the reasons why. So we don't have any trolleys on Auto Trader. Not that I've seen. I'm going to go search and see.
Okay, well, we'll find out. This is a new thing to do. I think Ben's just been cut off. He did say he had to leave at 7:50, but there he is. He's gone. That's all right. I'll pick up the trash. I'll be the guy who grabs the trash this morning. Ben is not reliable. He's not reliable. If you needed him to collect your rubbish, he just wouldn't be there on time. And it would sit outside in the sun and get all steamy and maggoty and gross. So you can rely on me at least.
Well, right. I would worry about, Ben, doing that hop onto the back of the truck, falling into the compact and having to clamber his way.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God. That's hilarious. All right. What else have we got?
There is a Nissan Juke. I don't know if you know what a Nissan Juke is, though. Mm-hmm. But there is a Nissan Juke hidden in the 500... unit note of the currency of Cambodia.
Really? Where is it?
So if you look at that image, see that
there's
that
a car. Yes.
Is a Nissan Juke.
Ah, okay. Is there a specific reason that the Cambodians would want to promote Nissan?
No idea, actually. So the thing is, every single country has different things, and I want to go and find out why this Nissan Juke is in their notes. Mm. But different countries have different things on their notes, like the United States currency has those symbols on it. South Africa has the Big Five. Mm-hmm. Australia, I think, has their prime minister.
All right.
Or something to do with the royalty. But every country has something. We've got Nelson Mandela on ours. Yeah. But a Nissan Juke, why choose that car?
Well, maybe they provide, I don't know, Cambodia maybe provides the windows or the bumper or the badge or something. There must be something that they do with it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have chosen that car specifically, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they've got a mix of the Nissan Juke. They've got a bridge. They've got, if you look at it, it's Egyptian hieroglyphy in the background. I'm interested to go and find
George,
out why.
That's not Egyptian. That's from Angkor Wat, which is the famous.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the famous old temple in Cambodia. So that's more of a kind of their own ancient heritage. But the Juke, definitely not their ancient heritage.
Yeah, I don't understand why that Duke is there, should I say. But I'd like to find out more about why it's there.
All right.
And then you can renew your car license now. I mean, we've been able to do it for a while without queuing. So if you go to the actual licensing department, you're going to have to queue whatever the case may be.
That's a horrible thing to do.
So it is a horrible thing to do. So, but I wanted to highlight the cheapest place to renew your car license. And that is the post office.
Aha. Provided you can actually find one that works or that has electricity.
That is true. But if you go into major shopping centers, sometimes there is a post office in major shopping centers. Mm-hmm. And I've found that that's the easiest way to renew your license. I did mine there. And there's no additional fees if you go to the post office. Whereas if you go to the other queuing services, you pay from 200 Rand, sometimes 250 Rand for the service itself.
Right. Also, George, I think you know what you've got to find out. You've got to find out if you have fines, because if you go there and you've got to suddenly pay like 2,000 Rand in fines and you're not prepared for it, that's a problem. Yeah, it's a big.
Yeah, you might not get your license.
Correct. And there's no Black Friday discounts from the traffic department. They're not going to give you any of that.
No, I've very rarely got fines. In my driving time, but I did get one the other day, 800 Rand. I was doing 100 kilometers an hour, onto an on-ramp, and I didn't realize that, I suppose I knew, but I didn't realize I was doing 100 on the on-ramp. So I was speeding up to 120 to get onto the highway, but the on-ramp is actually an 80 kilometer an hour zone. You only when you're on the highway itself can you do 120.
George, stop making excuses. You are a criminal and a lawbreaker, and you've been fined because you don't follow the rules of the road. That's all.
Well, I didn't follow the rules of the road, and I got 800 and fine. And but the interesting part was Pay30 SMS'd me, and then gave me a call. One of those automated calls, and said to me, I've got a fine. So if you go and you create an account in Paycity or a login in Paycity, you'll actually be notified, if you've got fines.
Well, I think maybe they were also angling for a bribe. I mean, Paycity's never contacted me for anything. They must have seen that it was you, George, and gone, let's try and contact this guy. Maybe if we can get him to pay, us instead of actually pay the fine. Yeah, there's some people. There's some smart people out there. Scams that are going on.
Yeah, I don't disagree that it could have been the problem, but I don't know about Paycity. Maybe the traffic department.
Steve says Paycity works really well.
It does. It does.
Right.
And then finally, 8 obscure car facts that you probably didn't know. I thought I'd leave you with some light-hearted stuff after all the trash talk.
Hit us. Let's go.
So the first one is Ford planned a nuclear-powered car in the 1950s. You know when Einstein and all those clever people split the atom?
Yeah.
Ford actually planned a nuclear-powered car, and then they ditched the idea.
Wow. Imagine driving a car with nuclear power. That would make me feel very, very strong and invincible on the roads. Of course, it would also immediately raise the specter of all kinds of radiation leaks on every highway in South Africa every time anyone had an accident. Not a good idea.
And then another fact that you probably don't know, I didn't know this, the world's first speeding fine occurred in 1896, and a gentleman by the name of Walter Arnold, who was actually a car dealer in the UK, was fined for driving his Benz back in the day at the breakneck speed of 13 kilometers per hour beyond the 3.2 kilometer per hour speed limit.
They had a 3.2 kilometer per hour speed limit. That's walking is faster than that.
It was for horses. So there was a speed limit. And he got a fine of 1 shilling, which in today's money is 1 rand.
Wow. Poor guy. I hope it didn't break the bank.
And then for those Formula One nuts out there, you know that Formula One cars have wings on the back and wings on the front that cause downforce, push the car down onto the ground, and then they also have an upside-down wing under the floor that sucks the car onto the ground. Theoretically, it's never been tried, but theoretically, a Formula One car would be able to drive upside down in a tunnel at 190 kilometers an hour.
Wow. I'd love to see them do that. There must be a tunnel where they can move the lights to the floor and they can actually test this out. I mean, that would be science worth experimenting on.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think?
I agree.
I might even watch Formula One if they did it upside down.
Well, there we go. There's the FIA listen. We spend an average of 36 hours stuck in traffic every single year.
Only 36 hours. I think that's a low number. I think that's a low number for people who are on the N1 highway between Pretoria and Joburg. I think that 36 hours a year would be a bonus for those people, because I think it's an hour every day in the morning, an hour every day in the evening, and that's conservative because sometimes there's an accident. So that's already that's already 2 hours a day, which means 10 hours a week.
I agree. I think there are some pockets like the Pretoria pocket that number is very low for. And then you might know this. Well, I think you do know this, Gareth, but some of the people might not know this, is that there's a Tesla floating in space.
Oh.
Since when?
Yes, man. I remember they attached it to one of Elon's rockets. Yeah, and then they fired it up there, and now it's busy floating around like space junk.
Yep, it's floating around like space junk. And then second to last, the man who invented cruise control was actually blind.
Really?
Yep, the guy who invented cruise control was blind. Well, and then very lastly, the highest mileage ever achieved on a car.
He wasn't the test driver, then I'm happy with that.
No, I'm pretty sure he wasn't the test driver. Sorry. Maybe self-driving would have been a good feat for him.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And then the highest mileage ever achieved on a car is 5.2 million kilometers.
What?
5.2
million. What was that?
I don't know. I'll look it up. It was a 36 hours and...
Jesus, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. You can't just drop a clanger on us like that and then sip your tea and leave the room, George. That's a big number.
It was
a
1966 Volvo 1800S.
Yo. Well, that speaks very highly of that Volvo, I'll tell you. You know, my grandfather used to say that it's not about how fast the car goes, it's about how many miles you can get on it. And that would have impressed him no end.
that was done in 1966.
Very impressive.
And in 2018 he had done more than 5.2 million kilometers in the car. So from 1966 to 2018.
It's a big deal. All right, George. Yeah. That is excellent. What a high note to end things on. We will start our trash collecting business next week, which is going to be amazing. And Simpiwe will be taking your calls on like which neighborhoods we can come and service first. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
George is going to find us. George is going to find us that the trash compactor truck and maybe even a honey sucker or two. We could even come and suck up the shit in your septic tank. I mean, who knows? We could be really helpful. There's lots that we can. We're not afraid to get our hands dirty on this show. All right, everybody, have an excellent weekend. Be good, and we will see you on Monday morning at 6 a.m. Don't turn the world upside down in the meantime, please. Don't break it while we're gone for the weekend, all right, if you don't mind.
CliffCentral.com